So here we are, week 5 of Freeway. We began this Freeway series by looking at the very idea of freedom, what it is and what it isn't. We talked about how freedom is not about doing whatever you want, but that freedom is about living into your identity as God's child, one who is made in the image of God. Even though the world will try to throw us off the tracks of our identity, God is waiting with open arms to put us back on track and welcome us home. And the journey to freedom is then the journey to God, the journey home to God. In week 2, we talked about how you start that road to freedom by becoming aware that you have to pull back the curtain of your life to see what's hidden just beneath the surface. Emotions and fears and other things that make us all tick in different ways, because you can't be free from these hidden emotions and fears until you know that they are there. But awareness doesn't just magically happen. We have to create awareness in our lives, and we do that, as we talked about in week 3, through a process of discovery. We have to dig deep and ask why. What you find when you ask why about your life can sometimes be uncomfortable, may not feel okay. In fact, it might even be scary to begin asking those deep why questions about yourself. But the truth, as we talked about that week, was that it's okay to not be okay. And if we can stand on that truth, that in the end of the day, none of us is as okay as we really want to be. And that's okay. And when we know that it's okay to not be okay, then we're a little bit freer to be curious about our lives. And curiosity, as we talked about, was the key to discovery. Last week, week 4, we talked about how owning whatever we find in our lives as we become aware and discover things about ourselves is the next step. Taking responsibility for what we find. And that can be tricky, because when we want to jump, so often when we think of responsibility, we want to just jump to blame and fault and who did it and what happened. But ownership and responsibility are not about pointing fingers. They're about dealing with the situation that's right in front of you. And if you're going to deal with the painful situations of life that may be staring you in the face, you're probably going to need a dose of forgiveness. And that's where we come to today. If we're honest with ourselves, this is probably the hardest step that we've come to yet. Don't fool yourself that forgiveness is easy. We're going to look at a story in Matthew today about forgiveness that is set up through some words which Jesus tells us that really make forgiveness hard. If you'd like to turn with me, you can look at Matthew chapter 18. We'll look at a story that's sometimes called the parable of the unforgiving servant. That story begins with these words. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother or my sister who sins against me? Should I forgive them as many as 7 times?" Jesus said, "Not just 7 times, but rather as many as 77 times." When I hear this, I imagine all the jaws in the room dropping. What? Complete silence, right? As if to say, you gotta be kidding, right? Peter asked about forgiveness, and I'm thinking to myself, 3 strikes and you're out. That's kind of our mode of operation in the United States, right? Once, twice, and what there's a saying about this, right? 1 time, shame on you. 2 times, shame on me. And 3 times, I forget what the 3rd time is. But in other words, we don't go nearly as far as 7. But Peter goes that far. He says, well, what about 7 times? And you have to pay attention when you see the number 7 in the Bible, because it's an important number. It's a biblical number. It's a symbolic number. It's looking at wholeness and completeness when you see the number 7. Just as an example, think back to the creation in the story of Genesis. The whole earth was completed in 7 days, right? This number 7 is important. So Peter, in a way, is asking about, should we forgive them wholly and completely? And Jesus says, nope, that's not enough. More like 70 times 7. Mind blown, right? How in the world? What does that kind of forgiveness even look like? It almost seems irresponsible to forgive someone that much. Right? Where's the responsibility if you just keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving? Will someone ever learn if you forgive that many times? Doesn't the buck have to stop somewhere? Isn't there some boundary that we have to put in place so people don't just get taken advantage of all the time? Well, according to Jesus, it would seem not. If you've forgiven, then Jesus says, keep on forgiving until someone who is holy and completely forgiven is forgiven again. Until forgiveness is complete and perfect. 7 times 7, sort of the perfection of perfect. It's almost an impossible concept. So let's try to break it down a little bit today. And to do this, I want you to imagine mistakes and wrongs and sins. I want you to imagine those as debts. Sometimes we say it that way in the Lord's Prayer, but we don't often do that in the Christian church. We typically say trespasses. But I want you to imagine those things in our life that we know we're wrong, that we make mistakes. I want you to imagine them as debts. And I want you to picture your heart as a bank. Right? Now, when someone hurts you or harms you or ignores you or disrespects you or betrays you, it's like taking from that bank that is your heart, it's like taking an unauthorized transaction out. Essentially, they've stolen it from you through disrespect or betrayal or harm or hurt. And if it's this wrong, this debt is going to be righted, then what do we do to right that debt, that unauthorized transaction from our hearts? Well, we could just say you've got to pay it back, right? So you have a couple of options when you think about these unauthorized transactions, if you will. These wrongs that are done to us. You can deal with something that someone's done to you. You can adjust to it. Or you can live in denial about it. Most of the time, we say we forgive, but we really only adjust to what's happened to us, or we deny that it's there. Now, when I say adjust to something that's been done to us, I mean that we adjust our lives around this debt, this unauthorized transaction that's been taken from our hearts, and it becomes something that eats at us. You might blow up in anger about it from time to time. You may try to extract payment so that you can fill that debt back up in your heart. You may try to do that in ways that you're not even aware of. Your relationship with the person who took this unauthorized withdrawal from your heart begins to center around that debt. And this ends up causing a lot of damage and leading to more and more and more debt. For some of us, adjusting is a little too confrontational. We don't like to try to pull payments from folks that don't want to give them to us. That's just too much. So we just deny it. We just pretend that it's not there. We don't want conflict in our life, and so we don't talk about it. We don't create a fuss about it. We just try to ignore it. But over time, when we deny that such a debt is present, that actually increases the debt. Until eventually we go off and explode like a bomb. Because the hole, the debt, has become too big to bear. Both adjusting and denying never really deal with the debt that's there. They never acknowledge the unauthorized transaction. They never end up paying anything off. And they do end up creating suspicion in our relationships, destroying trust and further damaging not just the one relationship between us and the person who may have taken something from us or hurt us, but all our relationships around us. Because trust, mistrust, trust broken breeds more broken trust, more mistrust. If I can't trust this person who harmed me, then who can I trust? Especially when that person is close to me. Some months ago, I think it was back in May, I shared a quote, from a fellow named Richard Rohr. He's a friar, Catholic Church. This quote speaks to the damage that unresolved pain can do in our lives. Richard Rohr says that if we don't transform our pain, we will transmit our pain. It's true. If we don't transform our pain, we will transmit it to those around us. And this is where forgiveness steps in. Forgiveness, you see, is meant to transform the pain that we experience in life from these unauthorized withdrawals and these relational debts. Transform that pain into something that we can move forward with. Too often in our lives, we say we forgive, but we haven't really been transformed. We forgive in word, and maybe even in our actions, in our relationship, but our pain has not been transformed, and so we keep on transmitting that pain in ways that we're mostly unaware of. We may become inflexible, blaming, and petty with the person who took from us. We might use blunt, harsh, or mean words with them in order to expel our own inner negativity. We may play the victim over and over again with that person. We might build walls with that person, walls that we're not even aware of, that are keeping us from being whole. And at worst, we may end up passing the pain on and hurting those people whom we love around us, family and friends. So, let's get back to that story that we started reading. Back after Jesus' words about forgiveness, forgive 77 times, and let's read what follows, which is a story of pain, of transformation, and of transmission. Matthew 18 again, the parable of the unforgiving servant. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle accounts, they brought to him a servant who owed him 10,000 bags of gold. I don't know about you, 10,000 bags of gold sounds like an awful lot. Sounds like an awful lot these days, much less in the time period which Jesus is speaking about. Almost an unbelievable amount. Right off the bat, in this first verse or two of the story, what happens? There's a debt, right? And they bring the debtor in and they name that debt. And this is important, though it might be simple and often overlooked. We have to do the same thing in our lives. That is, we have to acknowledge debt and face it. Why? Because you can't forgive a debt that you don't acknowledge. When we talk about relational debts in our lives, we often like to sideswipe acknowledgement. We argue about the bill with the person that we're working with, the person in our life. We might argue about the terms of the debt, the conditions of the loan, or the unauthorized transaction. But now, if you want to transmit the pain that you experience from that relational debt, you can keep on arguing about it all day long. But if you want to transform that pain, then you have to begin by practicing acknowledgement. And I know this can be hard because it takes vulnerability. You see, someone has to admit that they received a wound. And another person has to acknowledge that in some way, shape, or form or fashion, they inflicted a wound. This is key to forgiveness. If you can't acknowledge, you can't really be transformed through forgiveness. Typically, in any given situation where there's been some pain inflicted or a debt, everyone involved has probably done some receiving and also some inflicting. We don't always think this way. We think that, well, that person did it and it hurt me. But the truth is, we all have something to contribute to painful situations in our life. It might be small, it might be seemingly benign, but the truth is, in a painful situation, we all play a part. And if we can realize and acknowledge our contribution, even in a situation where someone has wronged or harmed us, if we can acknowledge whatever we might have contributed to that situation, then we can begin to shift from blame and finger pointing to ownership, and through ownership to forgiveness. So forgiveness begins with acknowledgement, but that's really just the start. So let's look back to the story again and pick up where we left off. It reads, "Because the servant didn't have enough to pay that debt back, the master ordered that he should be sold, along with his wife and his children and everything that he had, and that the proceeds should be used as payment. But the servant fell down, kneeled before him, and said, 'Please be patient with me. I'll pay you back.' The master then had compassion on the servant, released him, and forgave the loan." There are consequences for not being able to repay debts, right? Penalties, higher interest rates, foreclosure, bad credit, repossession. In biblical times, not being able to repay a debt typically meant becoming indentured. That is, you became a servant to the person that you owed, or the person might sell you in order to pay off your debt, servant or slave, until you worked that debt off. Could be years. And in this story, the king was going to force the man to sell everything that he had, even his family, in order to pay back his debt. But then something happens. There's this call for mercy. And the king makes a move towards compassion. Instead of ruining the man's life through bankruptcy and slavery, squandering his family, the king instead releases the man from his debt. This is amazing and powerful and unheard of. And this is the second step of forgiveness. After we acknowledge, we then have to decide that debt, that we're not going to use that debt to ruin someone else's life by demanding payment, often payment that can't be made. This is a huge step because forgiving a debt means that somewhere, someone has to absorb the loss. Someone has to take a hit. I think about kids on the playground. Even my girls sometimes when they fight. If someone starts a fight, right, the only way that you stop the violence, that you stop the hitting or the punching or the mean words, is if someone refuses to continue, right? At the end of the day, that's the only way to stop a fight. Someone has to take a hit and then decide not to retaliate. But boy, our culture doesn't like that. We love revenge and retaliation and payback. You don't believe me? Just go to the movie theaters. Like every other movie that comes back is about somebody who's been wronged and they're out to get the people that wronged them, right? And there we are. We learn more about forgiveness there, which is really a lack of forgiveness, than we do so many other places. And this is probably because absorbing a debt is one of the hardest things that we can do in our lives. We aren't good at it. Because we think to ourselves, that's not justice. That's not fair. They'll just go out and take advantage of someone else if I let them off the hook. People have to be responsible and pay for the consequences of their actions. That's most of our movies these days. But let me ask you this. Is that what Jesus did for us on the cross? Did he die so that you would pay the consequences of your actions? Or did Jesus die on a cross so that you would know grace, so that you would be saved, so that you would see a different way of dealing with debt? You see, God is not about retaliation. God does not hit back. God hears your call for mercy and God has compassion and releases you from the debts that you owe because God knows what forgiveness is. And God is calling us to forgive as well. As I said before, too often we say we forgive, but we don't. We're still trying to make people pay in all sorts of ways by bringing up mistakes, by reliving the pain we experience, by continuing to complain about it. We don't really have compassion for someone. We don't release them from what they owe. We don't want to feel bad. We know we should forgive. So we just say, "I forgive." But we don't really do it. Forgiveness, you see, involves more than just words. It involves release. Now let me be clear. Release means doing what the king did in the story. Release means doing what God did through Jesus on the cross. Release means wiping clean the debt. It doesn't mean that you immediately trust that person again necessarily. It doesn't mean that you go and you open the door right back up so they can extract another unauthorized transaction from you. That takes trust. And once trust is broken, trust has to be built back, right? What release and forgiveness do is restore a foundation on which trust can again be built. It has to be rebuilt. And when we do, what we do with that foundation makes a big difference. We can move forward with grace and humility, or we can just keep on taking more and more unauthorized transactions. Which leads us back to the story that Jesus is telling. Pick back up with me where we left off. When that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 coins. He grabbed him around the throat and said, "Pay me back what you owe me." Then his fellow servant fell down and begged him, "Be patient with me and I'll pay you back." But the man refused. Instead, he threw him into prison until he paid his debt. When his fellow servants saw what happened, they were deeply offended. They came and told their master all that had happened. His master called the first servant and said, "You wicked servant. I forgave you all that immense debt because you appealed to me. Shouldn't you also have mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had mercy on you?" His master was furious and handed him over to the guard responsible for punishing prisoners until he had paid the whole debt. "Shouldn't you have mercy on others just as I had mercy on you?" Those are the king's words, the master's words in the story. And they're also God's words to us. Today, yesterday, tomorrow. Mercy, you see, begs for more mercy. Releasing one debt should lead to the releasing of other debts, because one good turn deserves another, right? And pay attention here. The king sent the servant to prison after he had forgiven the debt. Why did he do that? He had forgiven the debt. Why would he send him to prison even though he'd forgiven it? If the debt was forgiven, how can the king still lock the man up? Well, you see, it wasn't the debt that sent him to prison, was it? It was his hard and unforgiving heart that took his freedom away. The servant refused to live a debt-free life, and so he ended up unfree. In other words, hard hearts lead to hard lives. If you don't forgive others, it is the hardness of your heart that will end up locking you up, preventing you from being free. Remember that the whole point of this story was to describe the kingdom of God and to explain Jesus' first words that we should forgive 70 times 7 times. We forgive because we've been forgiven. We forgive because forgiving leads to freedom. We forgive by acknowledging a debt. We forgive by releasing that debt. We forgive by going out and living a debt-free life, showing mercy to others just as it has been shown to us. Today, you were given a stone. One that looks a lot like the stones in this jar. Because a stone is a great symbol of the things that we hold on to. I want you to grab that stone now. Remember the story in the Bible, in the book of John, of the woman caught in adultery? She took an unauthorized withdrawal, and it impacted her husband. Impacted a husband, at least. Impacted a family. Impacted the friends of that man and his wife and that family. And who knows how many other people. Same could be really said for the man too, right? It takes two to tango. This story happens to focus on the woman who was caught. And so the entire community comes before this woman, surrounds her, and wants to extract payment for her debt, for this debt, this unauthorized transaction that she had taken from the community through her act. You remember what they were going to do, right? They were going to stone her. They wanted payback. They were literally going to transmit the pain that they were experiencing through this affair back to that woman through a stone. But notice what Jesus says to them. His words are, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." It was a call to forgiveness. It was a call to forgive based on the rationale that none of us are without fault. In other words, if we all transmit our pain, we'll have to stone everyone in the room. None of us are blameless. Jesus acknowledges aloud that every one of them has some sin to contribute to the community. And when they listened to that acknowledgement, every person in that room did what? Put the stone down. They released the woman from her debt. They released their want for vengeance. They released their pain by dropping their stones. No one condemned her because each knew that they could also be condemned. The unforgiving servant refused to drop that stone. He held on to it. And so when he engaged someone who owed him, he tried to exact payment. And in so doing, he walked away from the freedom that God had set right before him through the master. That unforgiving servant wrote his own sentence. When we fail to release those things that are hurting us, those wrongs that people have done to us, when those around us fail to do so, we continue to hold on to a stone and transmit our pain all over our community. But we have a choice. We can be that unforgiving servant, strangle folks until they pay us back, and we can write our own sentences. Or we can be one of those folks in the community around that woman who listens to Jesus Christ, who puts down their stone, releasing whatever debts are owed to us. In so doing, releasing our pain and taking a step towards freedom. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I have no idea the pain the different ones of us in this room are experiencing in these moments. I have no idea the things that folks have taken from us, those unauthorized transactions that people have pulled from one another's hearts. And God, so much around us would ask us to hold on and get revenge and retaliate. And Lord, we read of a Christ, of your Son, who asks us to put our stones down. God, words are easy to stand up here and say. And I know I have those places in my life that are difficult to put stones down. And so God, I ask that you enter into the lives of each one of us in this room. That you help to show us those wrongs, those hurts, those secret fears and hidden hurts within our hearts. Help us to become aware and discover and own the rocks that we're holding in our hands. And then Lord, show us each day how to put down those rocks, to release those debts, to release our pain, to be transformed, that we might walk towards your freedom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.